my ladies, that it is that time. Yeah. If you're listening to this, then you have decided to take a journey with me through your and my wilderness experience. Yeah, I said wilderness. Hey, there's wilderness stories all throughout the Bible, and we're going to be taking a look at them. So our first series is passionately titled Fake It Till You Make It. I said that. Fake it till you make it. I know right now you're thinking, ooh, that's juicy. And it is. And we're going to get right down to it. So our first study is Hannah. So Hannah is a very close and dear name for me. And there's a lot to be said in a name. So my grandmother's name was Hannah. And then my first born daughter, I named her Hannah. And so just years before I named my daughter, or years ago I named my daughter, I ain't gonna tell you how old I am, but years ago, my auntie was very adamant that I not name my daughter Hannah. And I couldn't understand why. Why wouldn't you want me to name her Hannah? You know, that's my great-grandmother's name. And she said, don't do that to that child. She said, go study in the Bible who Hannah was. And so I went through the Bible, but you know, this was 19... And I really didn't have time for all that. I was just going to have my baby name her a name and keep it moving. And so I started looking at Hannah then, and I didn't really get into it. I didn't get the gist of the story. But coming back now, in my own personal wilderness experience, and having to rely on God's word just to get by, Hannah is a lioness, y'all. She is beast and savage. She is representative of her father, the Lion of Judah. And given that she did a lot of worshiping and a lot of crying out, it's only fitting that the first episode of the Wilderness Experience Lady Study Guide, Fake It Till You Make It, Episode 1, is in full effect. So, if you want to get involved and you want to join the study group, please let me know. Click on my link here. Leave a message. Email me. I'll get you the email when we wrap up in the outro. And let's get connected. Wilderness Experience. Let's talk, y'all.
Yeah. And oh, how he takes.
Oh, wee, lionesses. I'm so glad. Aren't you glad that God knows your name? I'm so glad that I know that God, He knows who I am. And I'm trying to tell you today, if He don't know who you are, you better seek His face ye today. I'm just saying. Because I can imagine He knew exactly who Hannah was. So let's get into this study, ladies. Our scripture, our key scriptures for this study, Fake It Till You Make It, Hannah Edition, Episode 1, is 1 Samuel 1, verses 1 through 10. And yes, if you hear the rattling papers, that is my Bible because I write in it. I talk to myself through it. So you might hear some pages in the background. So let's get this study in. Okay, so Eli and Samuel, and you guys are participating with me in my study. So I'm not professing to know everything about Hannah, but we're going to learn, y'all. We're going to do this together. So some of the commentary I'll be reading is commentary through my Bible. So this is just a study guide. Again, I don't profess to know all that I need to know about Hannah. So I ain't trying to battle. This is just from my standpoint. And if it helps somebody or if you can relate, great. Oh, I like that. If you can relate, great. So let's study. All right. Israel has been ruled by judges for over 200 years. Eli and Samuel are the last of those judges. Samuel was born near the end of Eli's life. He grows up in the tabernacle as a priest in training under Eli and is well qualified to serve Israel as both a priest and a judge. Priest and a judge. Although the nation has fallen away from God, it is clear that God is preparing Samuel from the very beginning to lead the nation back to right living. Turn to your neighbor. No, I don't do that. But tell somebody, fake it till you make it right. God is always in control. He is able to bring His people back to Him. Ugh. So I didn't want to let the cat out of the bag, but fake it till you make it is fake it until you make it about God. Oh, we about to learn, y'all. Hannah, 1 Samuel 1. There was a man named Elkanah who lived in Ramah in the region of Zuph in the hill of Ephraim. Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. So, let's look at some of the commentary. Although many great Old Testament leaders, such as Abraham, Jacob, and David, had more than one wife, this was not God's original intention for marriage. Genesis 2:24 states that in marriage, two people become one flesh. When then did polygamy exist among God's people? First, it was to produce more offspring to help in a man's work and to assure the continuation of a man's family line. Numerous children were a symbol of status and wealth. Second, in societies where many young men were killed in battle, polygamy became an accepted way of supporting women who otherwise would have remained unmarried and very likely destitute. Nevertheless, polygamy often caused serious family problems, as we see in this story of Hannah and Peninnah. Oh, it's already getting juicy, y'all. This is like the ultimate side chick story. For real. Like mistress, all that. Sugar daddy, it's all there. So ain't nothing new under the sun. But to live in the same household and have this other woman who actually came to replace you in your position in his life be the measurement of your success. Y'all ain't ready. All right, I ain't ready. What I'm talking about? All right, three. Each year, Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of Heaven's armies at the tabernacle. The priests of the Lord at that time were the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. On the days Elkanah presented his sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to Pinah and each of her children. And though he loved Hannah, he would give her only one choice portion because the Lord had given her no children. Goodness gracious, we can stay there too. Let's go six. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. Oh, Jesus. Hannah had been unable to conceive children, and in Old Testament times, a childless woman was considered a failure. Her barrenness was a social embarrassment for her husband. Children were a very important part of society's economic structure. They were a source of labor for the family, and it was their duty to care for their parents in their old age. Ooh, did somebody hear that? Their duty. Not an option, y'all. Their duty. That'll preach too. Come on, y'all. Ladies, study guide. If a wife could not bear children, she was often obligated by ancient Middle Eastern custom to give one of her servant girls to her husband to bear children for her. Although Elkanah could have left Hannah, a husband was permitted to divorce a barren wife. He remained lovingly devoted to her despite social criticism and his rights under civil law. Sometimes you gotta fake it till you make it. But the good thing was they were worshipers. They were worshipers. So let's study this some more. Seven. Year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went into the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. Oh, man. This is... How many times do you find yourself so upset about something whose opinion should not even really matter, but they just know how to get under your skin? They know how to press all the right buttons. I'm talking about have you go from 0 to 100 real quick. And it's not just, you know, no, most of the time now we can get from up under people like that. It's called blocked. Do not disturb. Change your number. But when they live in the same household, they close to you. They may not be blood relatives, but they close enough that they control your mood, they control your attitude, they control your actions, keep you bound down and bound to sadness. Years, not days, y'all. Year after year. Poor Hannah. Poor, because I don't know, y'all. Ladies, could you have done it? Could you have done it? And you might be doing it now. You might be going through that now. Let's move on to eight. Why are you crying, Hannah? Says the man. No. Elkanah would ask, why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? You have me. Isn't that better than having children? Who gonna answer that for me? Ladies, is that better to have a man who's halfway devoted to you, even though he's halfway devoted to Hannah because of her own iniquities, but still, you ain't supposed to have what you want. You're supposed to have what I want. Well, I love you. That should be enough. You're not supposed to have the desires of your heart because you have me. Aren't I enough? Matter of fact, he put a value on their relationship. He said, having me is worth more than having 10 sons. When Hannah's heart cried over one, sometimes people don't get it. Sometimes you have to fake it until you can make it all about God.
Ugh. 9. Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in a deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime, and as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut.
Fake it till you make it. All about God. She went to pray, y'all. She went crying and sobbing and yelling and asking God to see this torment that she was going through and to look over her sorrow and look over all of her pain. And in the wilderness, y'all, there's more dark times than there are sunny. There's more rainy days. There's more storms. There's floods, y'all. I'm not country. I don't know why I keep saying y'all. But in the wilderness, sometimes you have to cry out. And that's where you're the freest to do so, is in the midst of your wilderness when things are so dark and you can't see anyone for miles around. But you can call on the name of the Lord. You can pray. You can weep. You can yell. Hannah laid it all at his feet. Even though she was hurting inside and being taunted, and her kids, other people's kids, Peninnah's kids, were just being paraded around her to remind her of everything she never had. Okay, I didn't say lost. I said everything she never had. And I've heard a saying that says, how can you miss something that you've never had? But baby, believe me, especially when it's all you want. And that was all Hannah wanted. And what I think is so intriguing about this is that she didn't go to the priest. I know y'all didn't think I was gonna have that kind of like knowledge, right? Hey, do I need to read the scripture again? Do I need to read it again? Do I need to read it again? She went to the tabernacle. The priest just happened to be sitting at the entrance. That's where he usually sat. And she didn't go to the priest and say, "Oh, priest Eli, if you give me a child or help me realize how to get a child, I owe you." No, she went to the tabernacle to pray to the Lord. Oh, Lord of heaven's armies. Y'all don't understand. Hannah was going through a battle, and she understood it was a battle. She didn't play the role. She might have faked it that she wasn't under attack, but she knew she was under attack. That's why she was praying so hard. She was under attack. But she didn't go to the priest. She went to the Lord. And she promised that, "God, I will fake it until I make it. I will believe that you are going to give me a son. I will hold on to your truths and to your word every single day until it comes to fruition. I will believe that you are God and you cannot fail. I will believe that it is not your will for me to be tormented inside and out every day. I believe that it is not your plan for me to be crying and sobbing and can't get it together and dealing with anxiety and depression. I believe, Lord, that you have a gift for me. I believe that you will give me a son. Even if I just go through the pain of having him, even if I just go through the pain of knowing that I have to give him away, it is worth it for me to give him back to you and live with him for a short time. But I know that you will use him to do good works, great works. And it is not about me having a son just so I can raise him and see him become an adult and have his kids and be grandma and be the loving mother and have them worship me, but that I can give him back to you, that you might use him for the building of your kingdom. He could be a priest or a judge. God, I thank you." Jesus. Let's pray. Fake it until you make it. Lord, there has been days where we have looked in the mirror and not even recognized ourselves. We let the devastation and the torment and the tearing down and the negativity and the day-to-day hustle and bustle and the busyness and the needs of others pulling on us, weighing on us. The disrespect from our children, the disrespect from our husbands, the lack of loyalty that Hannah's seen are the same things that we are dealing with right now today. And God, we pray, Lord, that as you get to Know us, and as we continue to seek you, and as the more we call your name, the more you hear our voice, God. We pray that the more you hear our voice, the more we'll listen to hear yours.
I am his own.
We've been faking it. We've been piling on level after level. We've been smiling when all we want to do is cry. We've been crawling into our jobs when all we want to do is stay in the bed. We've been smiling when all we want to do is frown. We've been faking it. But we say today, no more. Lord, from now on, we are going to make it all about you. And as we make it about you, all the other things will
follow. How you counsel me.
Thank you for showing us your vulnerability, Hannah's vulnerability, and how you work a miracle in the midst of our pain.
I am your friend.
We give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. Hold our hands, Lord. Hold our hands, Lord. Hold our hands, Lord. God, hear our prayers, Lord. Hear our cries, God. And work it out for our good. But mostly, work it out so that your kingdom will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.